with news updates and cultural stories and musical suggestions from you. Radio 3 Breakfast, live first thing 7 days a week. Or take breakfast whenever it suits you on BBC Sounds.
Hannah French is here with this week's Record Review Extra at just after 5 to 9 this evening. First on Radio 3 at 7:30, it's time for this week's Drama on 3, Hall of Mirrors, a kaleidoscope of drama, comedy and music, in which the writers Robert Hudson and Susanna Pierce explore nationalism, populists, inequality and how global disasters need bridges, not walls. Here they are to introduce the play.
Hall of Mirrors tells the story of the economist John Maynard Keynes, his adventures at the Paris Peace Conference after World War I, and the doomed Treaty of Versailles.
We say doomed because hindsight's a wonderful thing, but what we wondered was, what would it feel like in the moment if you could see this calamitous future coming, but no one will listen to you? What do you do? And what should you do?
We always felt that the peace conference would make a great backdrop for a show. It's this crazy historical moment where larger-than-life characters gathered from around the world to apportion blame and dismember the defeated empires in Europe and the Middle East.
I guess that is the other central bit of the show's DNA, us trying to have some compassion for people who were in an impossible situation. The first image that hooked us was 5 anonymous bureaucrats in a room in Paris somewhere trying desperately to redraw the map of Central Europe. And that image still exists in a song about how new borders create social divisions.
This is ultimately a story about how political decisions get made and what their consequences are. Musically, the show draws inspiration from all over the place, so there are pop elements and folk and ballet and many other things.
We can't do the dancing on the radio, which is a terrible shame, so we will leave that to you to imagine, and we really hope you enjoy it.
Hall of Mirrors, book by Robert Hudson, and music and lyrics by Susanna Pierce, and with arrangements and musical direction by Tim Sutton.
Me? You're following me? This is a street in Paris. It's January 1919, and I am John Maynard Keynes. I am an economist attached to the British delegation at the peace talks, which should be a mighty and hopeful project of rebuilding a world devastated by the Great War. Instead, the old men who burnt my generation in that conflagration are building back the bonfire in a festival of nationalism, vengeance, and greed. It is a circumstance of almost unimaginable despair. Like I say, despair. Because France... The Americans have arrived.
Good morning, Paris. I'm pleased to meet you. And if you were a croissant, I would eat you. The sun is coming out to play. The war has ended, hip hooray. Paris, it is time to see the light. America is here to show you wrong from right. We're gonna change the world. We're gonna change the world. We're gonna change the world. I swear that you won't regret it. No more despair and gloom. Paris, we don't have room. You need some va-va-boom. And we're gonna help you get it.
She's wrong, whoever she is. Oh, she's American. She'll know if... Excuse me.
Yes, sir? My name is Honor Paige Wary.
I'm pleased to meet you, Miss Wary. I wanted to ask you
Research clerk with the Hungarian Border Commission.
Oh, dear.
But it's wonderful. I want to twirl about.
Well...
This is the work of my life, sir.
You're very young.
But what will ever matter more than this? We're bringing self-determined nations to life.
You're redrawing the map of the world.
Yes.
But using what lines?
The right lines.
There are no right lines, Miss Wary. Whichever maps you chaps draw, it's choosing between future tragedies.
You're joking. Then why is everyone here always at balls and receptions?
Because we're either choosing between tragedies and going to balls, or choosing between tragedies and not going to them. What's the point of not going? And the American reception tonight, I wanted to ask, is it true that Lydia Lepokova...
You're gloomy, sir. But don't worry, you're just stuck. But we're here now. I'll see you later, sir. Good morning, Paris.
Bonjour.
I'm pleased to be here.
Bien sûr.
I'm sure there is a way we can agree here.
D'accord.
It might take work, but that's okay. I don't like sleeping anyway. And in the end, I know you'll come around. America is gonna make you safe and sound.
We're gonna change the world. We're gonna change the world. We're gonna change the world. We're gonna get right to it. Europe, you've had your say. Make room for USA. We'll start a brand new. Should be.
Paris, I'll put you first.
We're gonna change the world.
I'll work so hard, I'll burst.
We're gonna change the world.
Not to work hard's the worst.
We're gonna change
and
the world.
And we are gonna change the world.
I'm not saying I don't find her positivity pleasing. I thought like that once. Well, not exactly. She is very American. But I thought I might make some kind of a difference. My friends back in Bloomsbury said...
Peace talks is a ghastly misnomer, Maynard. They're vengeance talks. Don't trust politicians.
But if I can change their minds about reparations...
They're using you.
I'm explaining they have to rebuild Europe.
Politicians are morally bankrupt.
The Prime Minister's listening. He is. This week he's trying out a speech about rebuilding Europe.
An isolated, impoverished Germany in a suspicious, divided Europe will destroy prosperity now and drive conflict in the future. We must therefore rebuild her for the sake of our children.
Make Germany pay!
And of course, Germany must pay.
The people have spoken, Keynes.
They're being irrational, sir. You have to tell them. Germany can't afford these reparations. That's a simple fact.
The people have spoken.
I thought that what mattered was the facts. But the people didn't care, and so nor did Lloyd Ballard George. And the French PM, Clemenceau, might be even worse.
America is protected by her ocean, and England's protected by her little sea, which stopped Napoleon himself. But in France, Germany is still the dog at our throat. We defeated her in the war. We must defeat her in the peace!
Excuse me?
Yes?
It's me again, Honor Paige Wary.
I'm not a goldfish.
I know. That man just told me you're John Maynard Keynes.
He knows his stuff.
But you're my hero, sir. That the way you negotiated international currency markets to accumulate a small but critical amount of Spanish pesetas during the second year of the war was just wow.
I presumed you had to be there.
No, you didn't. Are you coming to the American reception tonight?
Yes.
I still don't understand having all these parties. I mean, there's so much to do.
Most of the business of this conference takes place at parties, and apparently you've invited Lydia Lepokova.
I can't get out of my head what you said about future tragedies. Why are you in Paris if you think like that?
Because someone must bear witness.
Bear witness? But you can help. You don't want these reparations, and you're the world's expert.
I've tried to persuade my Prime Minister, but he and Clemenceau...
President Wilson is different. He doesn't think the future has to be like the past.
His 14 points are a pretty dream, I admit.
His 14 points are a principled program, sir, not a dream. Have you heard him?
My 14 points for peace represent an opportunity to free the world from autocratic leaders and selfish invaders. People must be self-determined and their freedom guaranteed by a League of Nations.
Don't underestimate your people or the French. They cheer Wilson.
They do, and then they vote for vengeance.
But if the British people want Germany to pay $220 billion, and Germany only has $10 billion...
The people want what they want, not what they can have, and they vote for the chaps who promise it.
I won't share your cynicism, Mr. Keynes.
I know, old thing. Though, please, do say, will Lydia Lepokova be at the American reception tonight?
I don't know who that is.
La Lepokova. The ballerina Lepokova.
I am saving civilization. I don't have time for ballet.
Ballet's what civilization's for, Miss Wary. Well, art, anyway. Miss Wary doesn't know about Lydia Lepokova, but I hear rumors. And so I come to the American reception. Rather good little cakes. And Wary is almost the first person I see.
Miss Wary, have you heard? She's here.
I know. I spoke to her.
I am quite undone. What's she like? Apparently, did you know, she made £16,000 a month.
That's absurd. I'm not interested in gossip.
No, of course not. But she is on stage. Divine, I swear. Her husband stole her money, but luckily he's a bigamist.
Luckily?
Well, she could leave him, you see. Although I believe she'd rather left him already from time to time with Diaghilev, Stravinsky, maybe Picasso.
She sounds frivolous.
She is not.
Maybe I shouldn't have.
Shouldn't have what, Miss Wary? Look, it's her. That's her. Just there. The one walking this way. She's quite close. She really is very close. She can probably hear me.
Miss Lepokova.
Miss Wary, this is man.
Does she mean me?
I told her about you.
You what?
I told her you were the most brilliant man at the conference, but you had decided to bear witness rather than helping. She said she knew all about you.
You knew about me, Miss Lepokova?
I dream of you last night, gentleman. Of you and me in silken bed. Transport.
That's not what to say, Miss Lepokova.
I did not dream of you, but you...
I don't think he even goes to bed with women. That is right, sir.
Well, yes.
But I am so marvelous in that department. Why would you put yourself in cage?
You have to have a system.
System? What are you, some kind of accountant? This is why you look sad?
I don't think of my life in terms of happiness.
This is pose?
I don't think so.
Some people enjoy gloomy. Oh, I'm so sad. Face like fish.
No, I'm not like that. I like pleasure and take it in many things. In art, above all. But also, I am not quite like other people, somehow.
Mr. Keynes.
You know, I understand my place in the world. Outside the world.
Outside? You give up on life?
No, that's not fair. I try to help, and no one listens. Our masters are not interested in the truth or doing what's right. And I am helping Miss Wary when I say that seeking those things will destroy her. If you're on the edge of a raging river, it is sensible to observe the rapids rather than risk the rocks.
Raging river is life, Mr. Keynes.
Yes, the raging river is life. That's more like it. America is a hopeful nation, Mr. Keynes. We won't allow vengeance and we won't leave without self-determination.
When you have been at this conference for longer, you will see there is no hope for hope.
Oh, no, 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 no. Keynes, your gloominess pains me. Please cheer up, this isn't a tragedy. In darkness is always hope. Don't be such a grumpy boots, Mr. Grumpy Boots. I'm telling you no. Come, will you join dance, Mr. Keynes?
Dance? With you? How? I mean, it would be grotesque.
Oh, bah! I go plunge into river.
You are pathetic.
No, Miss Wary, I am simply unaffected by the turmoil of a world overturned by war, or any other turmoil caused by anything else being overturned, like my heart. In this river, you will drown. And
you don't know what's going to happen. You just think you do. And this is no time for cowards and Cassandras.
She means I'm a doom monger. And I am. I do. I do monger doom. But what she somehow doesn't recall, classical education being what it is these days, is that Cassandra was right. Cassandra saw the future. What a curse. But though she saw the future, what was worse, oh so much worse, was nobody believed her, however hard she tried.
No, nobody believed her. They all believed she lied.
I don't lie. And a few weeks later, we are at a ball given by the... I don't know who this one is. Maybe the Romanians.
I'm a little like Cassandra. That's my curse. And because I'm like Cassandra, what is worse, oh, so much worse, is nobody believes me, however hard I try. And since nobody believes me, why should I try? Oh, why? My friends all told me, Maynard, keep your principles and do not get involved. They call me Maynard, by the way. You shouldn't go to Paris, just stay out of things, and then you'll be absolved of blame. Preserve your name.
Miss Wary.
Over there, look. I see what you said about working at parties. President Wilson is with Clemenceau.
He'll get nowhere.
Your vengefulness, monsieur.
Germany must pay for the war.
Sir.
$220 billion of dollars.
She doesn't have that money. She'll be beggared.
This is not our problem.
It's terrible, this future that I see. With Germany reduced and falling prey to tyranny. But no one wants to hear that. They wouldn't, well, would you? But just 'cause something's frightening does not mean it's not true. I'm well aware that honor would be horrified, but honor is naive, though quite endearing in her way. But politicians hedge their bets and do their deals in ways that she would not believe, could not conceive. Look, no one likes Cassandras. That's our curse. Who wants to hear that things are awful and they're getting worse? So nobody believes me, however hard I try. And since nobody believes me, why should I try? Oh, why?
The president won't give up, Mr. Keynes.
He's following the wrong squirrel if he thinks the French will back down. Bloody fool, Clemenceau. Typical mercantilist sort of brain. Thinks if they're doing badly, we must be doing well. Sorry, I know no one cares about the economic forces that entirely define their lives.
Just listen.
My 14 points, Prime Minister.
Even Moses may do with 10.
Do not joke, sir.
About the Bible?
About my 14 points.
Your 14 points are from a world in which everyone will be little woolly barlambs and agree not to fight each other for some reason.
I keep sheep, actually.
Indeed.
On the White House lawn, and they do not fight.
I'm not sure how applicable this anecdote is.
They are overseen by a magnificent, powerful ram. Do you see?
I do not.
You should. He's a marvelous ram. Old Ike is his name. I talk to him a lot. Not as much as I talk to Puffins.
You talk to the birds.
My cat, sir. Puffins, my cat. You can't talk to birds. They're idiots.
Of course.
To go back to my example, the sheep are the nations. Old Ike is the League of Nations. Peace, harmony, QED.
If you kept also wolves with your sheep on the White House lawn, you would perhaps understand the problem of Germany. A world in which Germany is disarmed and pays proper reparations for her crimes.
Sheep do not demand reparations.
The French people are not sheep. They are demanding.
They should be less demanding and more sheepish. Reparations are not important.
Reparations are everything.
Self-determination is everything.
Self-determination is not important.
Self-determination is not important? That's awful.
Yeah, I agree, but it's irrelevant, because the French won't budge, and nor will we.
But you have to.
You wanting us to is not the same as us having to.
Sheep aren't vengeful.
People aren't sheep. Oh, good grief, that's the PM. He's looming over now.
Mr. Lloyd George.
Mr. President.
I have told Clemenceau again that there will be no vengeance. I couldn't look Puffins in the face.
Can't stand it myself. The journalist, Puffins. Puffins of the Mail.
I have never heard of her, sir. I am talking about Puffins.
Noble birds?
Puffins, my cat, Puffins. He is my conscience, or she. We observe each other's privacy. Nations must be free to choose their futures.
But when we redraw the map of Central Europe, for instance, or the Middle East, where do the lines go?
Along national lines.
Have you visited the border committees, Mr. President? No one agrees on anything. And with self-determination, how small is the unit?
We use self-determination to decide.
But if you disagree with your neighbor...
Then you're stupid.
But in those circumstances...
Self-determination.
Good grief.
Maybe one of my other 14 points. The evacuation of Belgium. Or freedom of the seas.
In Central Europe.
Disarmament.
But if they don't disarm... Now, I'm sure we can all be flexible.
We cannot, Prime Minister.
Puffins?
Where?
Here, Gethsemane Puffins of Rodine, Girton and the Mail. Who are you?
This is President Wilson, Miss Puffins.
Taller than I expected. There can be no backsliding on reparations, Prime Minister. The nation spoke.
Oh, though whether or not the nation understood the implications or what it was saying.
The implications be damned. The Mail stood behind the PM because he said Germany would pay.
But self-determination...
Self-determination be damned, Mr. President. Germany wanted this war. She lost it. She'll pay for it.
The real Puffins would never speak to me like that.
That journalist is awful.
Public opinion, Miss Wary. It's a democracy.
Oh, is that Queen Marie?
Yes.
I've never seen a queen before.
Well, if you want to know how things really get decided in Paris, watch this one. Queen Marie of Romania, by the way, is glamorous, British, one of Victoria's innumerable grandchildren.
Your Majesty.
Yes? Miss...
Puffins. Puffins of the Mail.
Oh, the marvellous Mail.
British princess loves mail. Front page. You're so down-to-earth and enchanting, so long as you conform to our readers' expectations.
Your wonderful readers. I miss my native England terribly, and I'm worn down by my traumas, battling like a she-wolf.
A beautiful she-wolf.
So people say, battling for my darling little Romania, greatest victim of this terrible war.
I've not heard that angle before.
Oh?
As a journalist, new angles, whether or not they make sense, are what I'm particularly interested in.
I had no idea. Oh, Clemenceau. Prime Minister?
Romania is the greatest victim of this war? I think not, Your Majesty.
Tiger Clemenceau bullies English princess, says Mail.
So virile, Prime Minister. I fight only for my suffering people. A Western nation in the East.
That's also snappy.
Your Romania enters the war late. It leaves early. And now you want the lion's share of Central Europe.
And so I supplicate myself before the tiger.
Touché, Your Majesty.
That's outrageous, what Queen Marie was saying. You know Romania is marching into Bessarabia before the maps are drawn?
Queen Marie is how the maps are drawn.
My committee is drawing the maps.
Using her lines.
No! We read everything. We listen. We analyze. Our lines are dispassionate.
The lines are never dispassionate, and this is what I meant by choosing between future tragedies. And the inevitability is what makes it tragic, I suppose, but I'm finding her hope unbearable. Weeks later, Wary is still reading submissions to the Border Committee.
Oh, surely not, Miss Wary.
I'm sorry, Monsieur Secretary.
There cannot be another box of papers. It is already late.
We have to prepare the committee. Tomorrow is the banquet.
Oh.
The Banat, as you know, is a strategically critical region of Central Europe containing a combustible admixture of Hungarians, Romanians, Czechoslovaks, Serbs and Germans, among others. What did I just say? Repeat it back to me. You've switched off, you see. You simply can't concentrate on the important things. And if you think the participants at this conference are any different, well...
Monsieur, should I take the lead? Just for today, because you... I know, it was a long party last night. Now, packet one
no.
is...
I am sharp as a heron. First item, a dossier from Bishop Manescu in Debrecen, a city in, we shall say, Western Romania for now.
For now.
He says, the peasants of the Dagan Valley are men of a remarkably fine type who have been dreaming of a home in Greater Romania all their lives and are unsurprisingly disconcerted to discover they might suddenly become Czechoslovak. But what can you do? Do you know that tonight's party...
Forget the party. What's next?
Hungarian general. The people of the Banat yearn to return to their Magyar roots. God has guided me to be their leader. I presume. You should attend this party,
Monsieur. I have item three, a Czech patriot, practically illiterate.
Lucky you.
It's the Dagon Valley again.
Where the peasants are men of a remarkably fine type.
He disagrees with the others.
Oh, this is impossible.
No, monsieur, I've heard people say that, but I took the liberty of preparing this. It's a statistical review of every fact we've ever been sent concerning the Banat region, and it shows that lines of self-determination dividing Magyars, Czechs, Yugoslavs, Hungarians, and Serbs go precisely as per this map.
These lines go through the middle of villages.
They're guided by disinterested logic.
But what about the villagers?
They will have to learn.
Mr. President...
I'm not here.
Very well. Now, the Banat...
Are you ignoring me, sir?
Of course not, Mr. President.
Good. Carry on. I'm not here.
We are dealing with the Banat region.
That's just lawyer's jargon.
I'm not sure it is, sir.
And I'm not sure you're president of the United States. I'm a plain-spoken man. Tell me about this map you've drawn.
Our research assistant, Mr. President, she prepared a statistical review.
Meaningless jargon.
Statistics.
Mumbo jumbo. I need something clear enough to explain it to Puffins.
The belt.
His cat.
It is a stupid name for a cat.
Puffins is a very fine cat. We do not continue until you apologize to Puffins.
I apologize to your cat.
He has a name.
I apologize to your cat, Puffins.
Very well. This crazy borderline makes no sense.
But it's the line of self-determination.
I love it. Publish the map.
Let all be free to be who they would be. Self-determining you, self-determining me. When all are free to be who they would be, then they'll finally be who they are. Then they'll finally be who they are.
Let all be free to be who they would be, self-determining you, self-determining me. When we are free to be who we would be, then we'll finally be who we are. Welcome to our little tiny corner of the earth. It is just a corner, but we've been here since our birth. Corners mean a lot if they are all you've got that's yours. Nonetheless, they still are prey to international laws. Let all be free to be who they would be, self-determining you, self-determining me. When we are free to be who we would be, then we'll finally be who we are.
How I love a little tiny corner of the earth.
Now at last it will be recognized for what it's worth.
I can't wait to be Hungarian.
Hang on just a sec.
Surely when you say Hungarian, what you mean is Czechoslovakian.
No, Hungarian.
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 Let all be free to be who they would be, self-determining you, self-determining me. When all are free to be who they would be, we'll have borders by which we abide. May those borders be narrow or wide, let the people in Paris decide.
The maps here from Paris.
At last, this will prove we're Czechoslovak.
Hungarian?
Oh, no. No, no, no. What is this line?
Does it say we're Hungarian?
It says I'm Hungarian.
I knew we were Hungarian.
It says you're Romanian.
Romanian? Romania's miles away.
I know, Ferenc.
This line goes through the middle of my land.
That's funny. Oh, it goes between my shop and my house.
Dirty, rotten Hungarians stealing my riches.
Filthy Romanians stealing my house. Wait, this isn't what we usually argue about.
No, it's nastier somehow. Normally, you say, Ferenc, you're a vile capitalist landowner.
Yes, and you say, Agnes, you're a soft-minded intellectual.
And then you call me the vice-like grip of feudalism.
Because you have me in your vice-like grip.
Yes.
And now you're Romanian.
I am not.
I know. You're the dishy face of our Hungarian oppressors.
You're the dishy one.
We're both dishy. But it's impossible because of our respective stations. That's what produces the tension.
Why do we want that?
We don't. That's what makes it tense.
But why do we want it to be tense?
People like it.
Do we?
That doesn't matter anymore. President Wilson promised self-determination.
A colorful scene, if patronizing, but it got the point across. I presume that's the last we see of them. Oh, they've come to Paris.
Paris is so romantic.
This is not a mini break.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Excuse me. Are you perhaps some important delegates?
No.
Ah, I knew it. I never get to meet important delegates. It is because I am German and we are the defeated power.
That does seem...
Yes, yes, yes. It is fair enough. But all the same, we are getting very tetchy. We do not have heating in our hotel. Where are you from? Do you have heating?
We've only just got here.
Make sure they give you heating.
We want them to give us freedom.
We all want that. But you have to think strategically, I promise. Make sure of the heating first.
And the rest comes after?
I do not know, but you will at least be warm.
Can you help us?
How? I am too cold with no heating in my hotel. I have no power to affect anything or to get any heating. Who knows what rage this might breed in my future heart.
This is the best mini break ever.
I think this building is where the Border Commission meets.
Ah, hello. Excuse me.
Sir?
Oh, she called me sir. Are you one of the delegates deciding the fate of the Dagan Valley in the Banat?
No.
There are thousands of delegates, Ferenc.
I'm not a delegate, but I'm the research clerk for that committee.
Oh, this is so good. Here, I'll get it out. The first chapter of my exhaustive monograph on the historical unity of the Dagon Valley.
It's exhaustive. Isn't that amazing? I haven't read it.
We're talking cheese.
We've already resolved the Banat question.
But Agnes and I love each other.
The Dagon Valley is an enclave of ancient Czech villages.
I own the village, and I'm Hungarian.
Ferenc's family was parachuted in by the Habsburgs 5 minutes ago.
1751.
1751? Well, if Hungary has held it since then...
I'm Czech now, and my name is literally Agnes Dagon.
So, dividing line seems like a good idea.
But our village is one place. We are on both sides in it, but we are all in it, and your line goes through the middle of it.
Can you all move?
No.
Of course not. But the world can't keep just muddling through.
But our village must be all in one country.
It might not be the right country.
But
do not split the Dagon Valley. I could be Hungarian.
I could be Czechoslovakian.
Not Romanian.
Romania is miles away.
2 miles.
How is Romania even involved?
Because Romania has Queen Marie, and she's at all the parties.
I like parties.
We shouldn't be here.
Do not worry about me. I am very charming.
I'm just saying, this is a big mistake.
Bah.
Oh, hello, Miss Lopakova.
I am just saying this is big mistake. Is Mr. Keynes turned you into grumpy boots?
No, it's just... These are Agnes and Ferenc.
Hello.
Hello. They're from the Banat, and, which is on the border between... Well, it's complicated.
There's a map. It says I'm Hungarian. I'm Czech. And he's Romanian. He says he's Hungarian.
I cannot follow this.
On this map, the line between Hungary and Romania countries goes through the middle of our village.
Line through village is stupid.
Yes.
We were trying to be statistical and dispassionate, but yes, you're right. But the line still has to go somewhere, and Romania... Did I hear someone say Romania?
Yes! Your Majesty, Queen Marie! I am Agnes Dagon. My village is half in Romania.
Only half? How awful!
Yes, because the Dagon Valley is historically contested by Czechoslovakia and Hungary. Not Romania at all. No offense.
Mr. President!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Queens don't beg, but I'm down on bended knee.
Bended knee, it is bended, we can see.
Queens don't beg, but I'm fighting for my worn down Romania. Torn down Romania, please help Romania, the greatest victim of this war. Wilson, I'm begging you, redraw those lines you drew and make our maps anew. That is what this treaty should be for. Now's the time to give my country more. We're a Western nation in the East. Let us help you fight the Eastern beast, those mosquito nations vicious from their birth. Now's the time to tear up the map, tear up the map. Tear up the map, tear up the map. Tear up the map, tear up the map, tear it right up.
Of course we can tear it up. These guys seem to stand around doing nothing.
We have to work all day, but when that's done, we like to dance because it's so much fun. So yes, we work all day, but when that's done, we like to dance because it's so much fun. We draw your lines and cross them out. 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 Don't mind us while we're doing all the work, but don't blame us if we sometimes go berserk. We draw your lines and cross them out. 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 We draw your lines and cross them out.
When there's a room to sway, the only way is feeling. Though autocratic, I'm dramatic and appealing. There's not one soul in all Paris who can resist the lure of me, Marie. Don't mind me while I ruin all your work. I don't blame you if you sometimes go berserk. You draw your lines, I cross them out. 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 Oh, Mr. Wilson, cut the legalese. My poor Romania is on her knees. Give me your gallantry and guarantee. Stick to your principles and help me, please. Cross your lines.
We draw your lines and cross them out. We draw your lines and cross them out. We draw your lines and cross them out.
Romania is an ancient Western nation buried in the East.
It isn't.
The phrase is stuck in my head, and that's good enough for me. Queen Marie shall have her self-determination.
But I can't believe it. Mr. Keynes, Miss Lopakova, did you hear that?
She is very bad, Queen.
I'm not giving up.
See, Mr. Keynes, these young people in the River of Life have hope. You should have hope.
Hope is easy for you because you're luminous and the world responds.
It's a nice thing to say. Point I make is, even if circumstance seem stupid, impossible dream-like, Giraffe in love with bird of paradise is always hope.
I don't understand.
Well,
the conference wears on through February 1919 and then March, and still no end will come until the question of reparations is resolved in suitably vengeful fashion.
Say you.
Says me. The President and Prime Minister at tea.
Mr. President, my people voted for parties which promised that Germany would pay for the war.
Did your people understand the disastrous consequence of that promise?
I refuse to believe that the English, that any Anglo-Saxon nation, could, in the exercise of its free will, do anything so obviously and catastrophically self-destructive.
Be that as it may, when one considers that even drawing lines has proven impossible,
why can't you see that the simple solution to all your arguments is the League of Nations? Old Ike presiding over his happy field of sheep, QED.
But the Republicans took Congress, Mr. President. They won't sign up to the League of Nations. Unless you negotiate with them as to what that actually means.
I will do what is right.
But if nobody listens...
No one will ever say that I sold short my principles.
Then the world will burn, sir.
It will not have been my fault.
That's your president, Miss Wary. It will not have been my fault.
Like you, sir.
No.
He cares so much about I am pure and right that he isn't actually helping?
It's quite different. I told them what to do, and they didn't listen.
So you gave up?
So I protected myself.
You protected your pride.
April turns to May, and in the end, some grubby deal will have to be done.
You don't know that.
The parties take on a desperate air. Someone, somehow, has to yield. And Prime Minister David Lloyd George, the Merlin of the Vales, the twisted smoke in the Hall of Mirrors...
You don't like him.
He'll say anything. But he is the one who understands. They don't agree, but they have to leave with an agreement. And he has an idea.
Prime Minister? Prime Minister, the mail hears that you have an idea, whatever that means, and we choose to assume the worst.
Well...
The nation seeks assurance that you have no intention of letting Germany off the hook. Germans must pay for war. Front page.
Your intransigence, puffins.
The mail insists it agrees with the French over its own dead body.
The Prime Minister, who wants to go home, is very aware of the situation. Ah, Mr. President.
Sir.
I think I may fairly be said to speak for the conference, Mr. President, when I say how much I admire and stand with your moral position with respect to vengeance.
You stand with me, sir? I see a crowd is gathering closer, hungry with hope. That just may be...
We must be stern, but also just.
Yes?
And we will never ask you to compromise your principles.
But you want us to make Germany pay?
Only for damage to Allied civilian populations.
What? Oh.
We all agreed that Germany must pay for civilian damage, did we not?
He's being disingenuous, sir.
Shh. Quiet, Miss Wary.
You explained quite brilliantly, Mr. President, that sheep would never take each other's fields.
No. Never.
But let us say that the sheep were attacked by predators.
Like bears?
Traditionally, it's wolves with sheep.
I think Germany is bears.
They're all bears, sir. It's bears on both sides.
Maybe, Miss Wary, but the sheep are the civilians.
I'm following.
At the end of this terrible war fought by bears on both sides, many little lambs lie dead.
Oh, no.
Terrible indeed. Now, the thing is, as well as the dead lambs, many fields have been destroyed. And sheep houses and... factories.
Wool factories.
Yes.
Because they are sheep.
Very good. And sheep hospitals and so on.
Sheep schools.
Yes. And the thing is...
sheep restaurants. Sheep movie theaters.
All these things, they are civilian losses.
Oh, sir.
And so, in terms of justice, not vengeance...
Justice, not vengeance.
Is it not unreasonable to ask the Germans and their presumed allies, the bears, to pay these civilian losses? to pay for farms and infrastructure, for the damage to industry and education caused by war mobilizations, for the loss of shipping.
And then we could all go home.
Germany can't pay.
Surely, Miss Wary, we can rally around justice, not vengeance.
But the world is real, sir. It isn't made of words. These fields, these billions of dollars, they don't exist. And we're acting like that doesn't matter. If we promise made-up things to win an argument, what happens next?
Germany pays, and I finally get back to Puffins.
Yeah. You're disappointed in him, Miss Wary, but we all have to go home. You fought a good fight, but you don't care as much as the French or us. It was our blood, you see. Our little lambs.
I admired your efforts there, old thing.
I don't care about your admiration, Mr. Keynes. I want your help.
I'm trying to help.
How?
I was right, wasn't I? You have to protect yourself.
I've tried to tell you, honor, keep your principles, and do not get involved. Of course, that's always been my plan. So listen to me now and just stay out of things, and then you'll be absolved of blame. Preserve your name. It's not too late to listen. Can't you see? Too late for them, perhaps, but not too late for you or me. Let them have their treaty. They'll all reap what they sow. Yes, let them have their treaty, but turn around and go.
No. I understand your plan, but that is not my plan. I'll do the best I can. I'll do the best that I can. Though progress may be slow, and sometimes we'll plateau. I'll do the best I know. I'll do the best that I know. 'Cause, oh, when you consider what's at stake, it's worth us throwing everything at each choice that we make. So let's not hide or stand there purely just to chide, but do our best with each of these decisions we decide. And though we might still fail and flounder and or flail, it's better to have tried than stood apart on the side. 'Cause, oh, just think of what we might achieve. Change at glacial rates of progress if we just believe. So let us try to do some good before we die. By which I mean at least before we have to leave Versailles. I understand your plan, but that is not my plan. Let's do the best we can. Let's do the best that we can.
There has to be something I can do about the Banat.
Has to be.
Might be.
The Banat doesn't matter.
It matters to the Banat. It matters to President Wilson.
It matters to President Wilson. It's... I shouldn't find it so painful. Observe, Maynard, observe. While Wary spends the night torturing herself over the Banat, President Wilson is probably sleeping like a baby.
Huh? Is this a sheep I see before me?
Oh, good grief.
Have I made a vengeful sheep? I mean peace? A vengeful peace?
And so, in a species of dream ballet, the writers attempt to illustrate the presidential state of mind.
I am in this so deep that to go back would be as tedious as go o'er.
I love this field.
Yes, it's the field we've always lived in.
It's our field.
Indeed. Sheep love their own field. It's a fundamental truth of sheep nature, hence self-determination. Reason tells us that self-determined, democratic sheep will always make the most sensible decisions about their own futures.
Reason tells us no such thing. It ignores the situation the sheep are in and how they're affected by the world beyond their fields. And how... this is too complicated to portray via a dream about sheep.
What about predators?
The League of Sheep... League of Fields will ensure...
What about me?
Is this a bear I see before me?
Yes. I'm a metaphor, presumably.
You're a metaphor for nasty, warlike leaders.
I think I'm rather a metaphor for the kind of charismatic force that always succeeds in democratic politics. I just want to protect my little sheep from predators. Like you, Mr. President.
I am a goody.
Then why do you let your allies demand impossible reparations from the Germans?
It's a special case.
Says you. I won't let my sheep suffer.
Maybe we should have a clever jolly bear to protect our fields.
You don't want that.
Would we be safer? I can't tell.
But he's a bear. This isn't a dream. It's a nightmare.
What it is a pathetic attempt to illustrate the consequences of this conference, but telling a parable about Bally's sheep obfuscates the truth, which is really about money supply and capital flow. Step away from the brink, Cassandra.
None of this is real. Sheep will never vote for bears.
Of course they will.
Bear.
We are jolly.
Wilson, I'm afraid of this world you've made. What about my you? What grass will she chew?
Wilson, I am scared. Also unprepared. Am I safe with just my ram?
Yes, you surely am,
ma'am.
Can you keep them safe, though? He looks delicious. Sorry that your ram is dead, but don't you fret your pretty head. Stick with all of us instead. The bears have got your back. Bears can dance and bears can sing. Bears can do most anything. Bears got paws and bears got swing. The bears have got your back. The world is confusing and scary, but try not to dwell. Just let us preserve and protect you and all will be well. The bear is no wolf in sheep's clothing. A bear is a bear. And once you've invited us in, you'll be glad we are there. You will.
Don't listen to the bear. If you cooperate with your fellow sheep, I promise perpetual peace.
But don't those foreign sheep secretly want to steal your fields?
And I've already lost my ram.
The bear ate him.
Maybe. He won't eat me. He says he has my back.
Sorry that your ram is gone, but we'll defend you from now on. It's us you can depend upon. The bears have got your back. Bears can grab and bears can bite. Bears can win most any fight. Bears can keep you safe at night. The bears have got your back. You don't have to worry. It's time to relax and just chew. We may not be sheep, but we know that's what sheep like to do. Am I right? So find a nice hill and just chill while we scope out the scene. We promise the land will be grand and outrageously green. We'll build fences nice and steep. We'll keep out those other sheep. They can take a running leap. The bears have got your back. You'll have grass for you and yours, thanks to us and to our claws. And of course our mighty roars. The bears have got your back. The bears have got your back. The bears have got your back.
You enjoyed that, didn't you? Couldn't help thinking the bears were fun, even though they're bears. I'd despair if I let myself. Where's Wary? Oh, another bally party. Everything is almost signed, and she's still trying to get a fairer solution for the Bannard. For a moment, she's standing against a wall, and...
Hello!
Miss Lepakova.
Turn frown upside down. I bring Ferenc and Agnes.
We wanted to thank you, Miss Wary.
All that paper. And all we needed to say was give Queen Marie whatever she wants.
Bah!
Miss Wary's done everything she can, Miss Lepakova.
How does Queen Marie get what she wants? Is serious question.
Because Romania is the greatest victim of the war?
You know it isn't.
But the phrase is so catchy. When I hear it, I feel...
Yes, this! You feel! Marie speaks to heart.
She speaks to the worst part of human nature.
Heart is not good. Heart is not bad. Heart is just heart.
So what do we do about that? It's easy for her. But it is. Romania suffers. Make Germany pay. I mean, emotions aren't complicated, but we're trying to do something practical. And
self-determination is speaks to heart.
It sounds simple. But actually, drawing the lines...
But even not perfect lines is making better than before.
Yes.
Yes, and is moving because people hear it with hearts.
But Queen Marie also says self-determination, and then she just lies. But if you care about facts...
Can care about facts, but can win argument not only with facts. Queen Marie is people. What is this self-determination for people?
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is very interesting. But we have to go.
We must be home for Dagon Day.
It's a festival. My family have hosted a lunch as far back as anyone remembers.
Wait. Your surname is really Dagon?
Yes. There are papers in the monastery from before the Hungarians came.
A monastery?
My family is old, but that is not important. What matters is democracy and self-determination.
Agnes Dagon from the Dagon Valley. And you, Ferenc, you're a landowner?
Yes. I have a foundry also. And a smithy attached to that.
Blacksmith is romantic.
Ferenc, Agnes, I've had an idea.
You are thinking me dressing up clothes?
I am now.
Doomed, Imungo. The talks are winding down. There is a very last dance feel to Paris tonight, and... Oh, good grief. Is that a tiara, Miss Dagon?
Yes.
She looks great. This apron is real leather.
You look like something from a comic opera.
Thank you.
We don't have time, Mr. Keynes. Everyone! Forget Marie and look at me and my companions. The story's killing and more thrilling than D'Artagnan's. It's time you really got to know the Bannards, Juliet and Romeo. Hail Princess Agnes from the Dagon Valley.
I'm a princess from the Dagon Valley.
The line you've drawn, it goes diagonal.
Her blacksmith lover and her valley.
Don't draw your lines and cross us out. 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 Don't draw your lines and cross us out.
Her surname is Dagon, apparently.
A dispossessed young princess.
A princess, monsieur. But I am a queen. You're making this up, Miss Wary.
Her name is Dagon. Her family gives a dinner. I'm using facts colorfully to speak to the conference's heart, because I've learned that the other side will make up facts to get what they want. Because the other side, I mean you, you're the other side, you don't care what the truth even is. So, read this scroll. It was written by a monk.
By a monk? What a turn up, who'd have thunk?
This old scroll shows that Agnes is descended from royalty. Look, here's her family tree.
What nice calligraphy.
Well, the monks were very good. Agnes has sovereignty.
So much for Queen Marie. All hail bureaucracy.
Well, I just did what I could. Agnes and Ferenc are divided by a line.
By a line? What a tragic valentine.
Agnes and Ferenc could be rescued with the stroke of a pen from you. Here's what you have to do. Redraw those lines you drew before it is too late.
Wait! This is all wrong. I am a queen. She's not a princess. This is all manipulation. And he's no blacksmith. It's a total fabrication.
But they're in love, it's plain to see. And we're invested in the necessary. Region was a distant place, but after this we've seen its human face. We
can see at once you are a special case. All thanks to Wano wearing what an ace.
We draw your lines and cross them out. 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 We draw your lines and cross them out.
You can't mean this, Monsieur Prime Minister.
Apologies, Your Majesty, but I am French. And this is romance.
Mr. President?
It's self-determination.
Prime Minister?
It's a far-off country of which I know nothing.
Hooray!
Thank you. But Mr. Prime Minister, are we Hungarian or Czechoslovakian?
Don't you know, Princess Agnes?
I... truly? It is the flip of a coin.
I have flipped a coin. You are Hungarian.
But I'm... thank you!
Hooray! Hooray!
So, Mr. Grumpy Boots.
Miss Lepokova.
You smiling. He's nice.
Yes. The treaty's still a disaster, but that was cleverly done. And the Banat will be, well, a slightly more honorable mess than it would have been.
Also, blacksmith and princess.
Yes, also. Absurdly, I am happy for Ferenc and Agnes.
Miss Wary, you swim in a raging river.
Thank you. Oh, this is so obviously not a tragedy, Mr. Keynes.
No. Perhaps I did give up too soon. Miss Lepokova, what do you think? Oh, she's gone again.
Yes, but why do you think she keeps turning up?
How would I know? I notice she never misses the chance to be rude to me.
Yes?
What do you mean? No. 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 What would she see in me?
Hard to say, but she utterly does.
I'm not listening.
The thing is...
Gesundheit.
Oh, thank you.
You're wrong about Lepokova. There's no way someone like that... Yes, what is it?
I have gloomy news.
The reparations clauses are final.
The Serbians have booked the Hotel Marcon, and we're going to have to find somewhere else for the Treasury Group's band dance.
Bally Serbians.
Oh, in addition to which, the Spanish flu is rampaging through Paris and killing more people than the war ever did. Au revoir.
That's a blow about the barn dance, but it's not a tragedy.
No. So going back to the fact you might have been wrong...
Yes. It's a little victory, but it's the sort of thing which could give you hope. Although it's the hope that kills you.
Don't be a grumpy, Boots. That's what Lydia said.
You really think there's hope?
Exactly. I might sit down. Oh!
Are you all right? Oh.
Oh.
Miss Wary...
It's not the hope that kills you. It's the Spanish flu.
That's not funny. No, wait, she'll obviously recover because...
Mr. Keynes.
Spanish flu is a very sudden disease, so it looks bad fast, but she'll recover because... Because...
No. This can't be how the story goes. For honor is a hero, and as everybody knows, she can't just die. There must be something left to try.
This isn't how I planned it, but I have to leave Versailles. Farewell then, Maynard. I have to go now. I'm really sorry, but I'm sure you know now that I wish that I could stay with you. Oh, damn this deadly Spanish flu, but treatment is quite primitive, and so I just have one request to make before I go. Please, will you change the world? Please, will you change the world? Please, will you change the world? You need to get right to it. I have to go quite soon. Maybe this afternoon. You'll have to sing my tune. Well, somebody has to do it. Now is the time to be who you could be. Now is the time to be who you should be. You need to start today. Promise you won't delay. Sorry that I can't stay. But Maynard, you could change the world.
Farewell then, honor. I'll say goodbye then. I have to leave Versailles. You're saying, how can you go? Honor just begged you to stay. On her deathbed. But I was right all along. Tragedy. Observer. Done. And I go home. And they sign their treaty. And while they sign, I write my book. Everyone says it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Brilliant.
Excellent. Brilliant. Quite excellent. Done.
Brilliant. And because I wash my hands of the treaty, all my friends forgive me for getting my hands dirty in the first place. Have I disappointed you? I told you who I was. I said you wouldn't listen. I might wish things were different. I might wonder what my life would be like if I were. But I'm not. And I look in the mirror, and I can't see clearly. And it's not because I'm crying. It's just something else. And through this, let's call it mist, the face looking out of the mirror's not my face. It's... But, Miss Weary, you're dead!
Yes, I'm a ghost. I'm not a ghost, Keynes, you goof. There's no such thing as ghosts. I'm your memory of me. How are you helping anyone?
At least I was right all along.
Is that what you think this has been about?
You overestimate me.
Even if you only did care about you, have you been right about you? You wanted to woo Lydia.
Oh, it would have been hopeless. I'd have been destroyed.
You might have been sad, but you're sad anyway. Stop watching the river. I can't bear it. Your friends all told you may not keep your principles and do not get involved. Your friends sound awful, by the way. It's bad advice to live your life at one remove. You ought to be resolved to live. Give life all you have to give. For this is just observing, don't you see? You stand and watch the river rage, and that's no way to be. It's not as if you're happy, or else I let it go. It's living makes you happy. Believe me, I should know.
My friends aren't awful, they're just artists. Different thing. But you're right. I saw the levers of power move. If you don't move them, then someone else will. And my friends can be callow about that fact. And I find myself rather dissatisfied as I walk through Covent Garden. And I see Lalopokova. And she's looking at me.
Mr. Grumpy Boots!
And do you know, I want her to look at me. And she walks to me, and I...
You are dumb like fish again, Mr. Keynes.
Call me Maynard.
Maynard?
I am like fish, because I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in the river. Why does the fish need to jump in the river? What's it doing on the bank? That's not the point. I'm going to jump in. Stupid me. Now I see that I must join the dance. If I fail, then I fail, but I must join the dance. Do not stand on the side. Do not duck. Do not hide. Take a chance with a glance. Join the dance. You may not love me, for very few do, but here's my heart. Crammed full of numbers, but also of you. Take my heart. I'm going to dance. I'm dancing. You're dancing with me. We're dancing together.
One of us is important international ballet star. No, 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 carry on. It's hilarious. I mean, wonderful.
Only fool plays it cool, so you must join the dance. Get involved, problem solved, yes, you must join the dance. Those who try never fail, for the heart will prevail. Take a chance with a glance, join the dance.
You and I, we will try, we will dance.
So, I've let go of some preconceived ideas and found personal happiness, and that's... What is it?
Some kind of an ending?
No.
Then what comes next?
I don't know. I'm a memory, not a magic fairy. I suppose if you need me to say it, this is you processing who you are in the world right now. And it's not the end, because the world is still happening.
One year passes, then one more year passes, then another passes, till it's 1922. One year passes, then one more year passes, till you wonder how on earth so many years they flew.
1929, the Great Depression. A world built on money that wasn't there, preys on the people with least. In 1932, Germany starts voting the Nazis into power.
In 1932, first Mars bar is produced in Slough.
You never know what Lydia will find interesting.
Is what makes me so enchanting.
One year passes, then one more year passes, then another passes till it's 1934. Then one year passes, then one more year passes, till you wonder, what else does this world still have in store?
In 1936, Arsenal win FA Cup and each of players' wives is presented with silver wristwatch.
In 1937, the bombers flatten Guernica.
In 1937, J.R.R. Tolkien publishes Hobbit.
I look at the Nazis and I think, this is the raging river.
He has trouble with heart. Maynard?
This is the time honor told me of.
In 1938, Test Match Cricket is first broadcast on television. Oh, he's so boring.
I warn them, but they all pretend war can be avoided.
One month passes, then one more month passes, then another passes till it's 1939. Then one month passes, and one more month passes till you wonder, could you get your husband to resign?
You wanted me to swim in the river.
I know.
In 1939, I propose in the New Statesman that a war economy
also
might...
Princess Fozia of Egypt marries Shah Mohammed of Iran. And Gone with the Wind is released. Let's go to Gone with the Wind. It's wonderful dance, Maynard. Like Future Robot. Oh. But he is not dancing like Future Robot. He's having a heart attack.
But I survive.
He survives. Was scared.
Was it a funny dance?
Your dance is all funny. I think at last he will rest.
I do rest. Even though it is 1940 and I know the Second Great War cannot be won without money, but it is not immediately clear how I may take up the struggle. Oh, I am being visited by the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Information.
Keynes.
Secretary.
Keynes. We want you to counter German propaganda about the joys of a Nazi economic system.
Explain why freedom is better, even though we botched everything rather badly through the 30s. It's a very intricate question.
I'm to say, Keynes must remember to keep it simple. Make him bang the Empire's drum. Fight for whatever Britain can retain once hostilities cease.
Pointless. It won't be back to the status quo this time, old thing. I'll do the best I can to save civilization, but if dinosaurs like Halifax and Churchill think we can keep an undamaged empire, they're building bridges out of blackbirds. What would Honor Wary have said? But I'm not Honor Wary.
What I would have said is, we fail every time we do not try.
But what if I...
Keynes, are you talking to yourself?
What? No, I'm just thinking. The Nazis want international clearing to be on a fundamentally barter basis, which is... better than gold, of course, but...
In terms of sheep?
Sometimes things are bigger than sheep.
Imagine a better world, Mr. Keynes.
I'll try. And so I help the Ministry explain how Nazi economics are fueled by plunder now and imperialism in the future.
That's so clear.
It's obviously more complex than that.
No, that's what we need.
By 1941, Britain is alone, and the US ambassador tells Roosevelt, we're finished.
We have to persuade them we need their money to survive. Keynes.
Yes. And so I plead. The Americans are suspicious negotiators, fearsome even. But I look around London and these are my blood and bones now. These are my little lambs. I tell them, Hitler is the greatest threat to freedom since Napoleon.
and we are minded to help you pay to fight him. But we will, naturally, expect to be repaid.
And if this costs us the Empire?
So be it, Sir Keynes.
By which he means, of course, so much the better. However, American money gives Britain life in our battle with Nazism. And then Japan brings America into the war.
So now, at last, you may rest.
No.
You secured loans. It's 1941. Can see Blythe's spirit. He's very jolly.
Yes, perhaps.
Lucky we are not in Zurich, Switzerland. There is Mother Courage by Brecht.
Lucky indeed. I know, Lydia knows, my war is not done. When Stalingrad and Midway and El Alamein turned the tide in 1942, the Americans, more bloodied, wearied, and heart-sore than they were in 1918, shift their thoughts to the future.
American blood has run rivers for this victory, and the Morgenthau Plan...
They want another vengeful peace.
Germany must pay for this war.
It's happening again.
Then stop it, Mr. Keynes.
I travel to America. The shape of all our economic future, hence all our future, will be formed at a great conference at Bretton Woods, a beautiful town in New Hampshire. It is not a holiday, but it is a lavish hotel full of bureaucrats arguing furiously during the day and dancing drunkenly into each other's beds at night. It is very familiar.
Good day, New Hampshire. I'm pleased to meet you. And if you were a bagel, I would eat you. Oh, Monsieur Keynes! Monsieur Keynes!
Yes?
You probably do not remember me, Monsieur Keynes, from Paris?
Of course.
Is this Paris once more? Are we again choosing between future tragedies?
I don't know. There will always be tragedies in the future. How are you finding the Americans?
I apologize to their cats immediately. After this, they give me no trouble. I think there is hope this time.
Maybe.
America, like France, has always hope. Because she was born from an idea.
Yes.
And now, it is now. And I'm in my hotel room. And I have to give a speech tonight. And I'm not sure I do have hope.
Don't be such grumpy boots.
You didn't want me to come to America.
Was easier when you were a young man. Wasn't it scared you would drown in a raging river?
Everyone I speak to here, I cajole, I entreat, but it's awful. I don't know how to make them listen. I need air. It's freezing. I need to clear my head.
What will you say?
I don't know.
To the heart, Mr. Keynes.
I spoke to people's hearts when I was a Cassandra, you know.
Yes.
That book was a bestseller.
So what? Maybe the bad heart is easier. Maybe it's easier to speak to the heart if you're simple, and it's easier to be simple if you lie. So what? Maybe it's easier if it's fear, and it's easier if it's them and us, and they win, so we must lose. But so what? That's not what you believe.
No.
Only you can do this.
Maybe I can't.
This is the work of your life, Mr. Keynes. Don't be a grumpy boots.
Maynard!
Hello?
Maynard, it's Sine. Look who is here.
I do not suppose that you remember us.
Of course.
It is Franz and Agnes from Paris.
I did remember.
We were the ones that on the wherry saved by pretending I was a handsome blacksmith.
I remember the princess bit.
I learned to make horseshoes for the role, but that ended up being cut.
What are you doing here?
It is to tie this part of the show to the section set in Paris after World War I.
I meant literally. What are you doing here in America in 1944?
Oh, let's say we are immigrants. It's an immigrant nation.
That seems reasonable.
It's what we are.
Yes, of course. It's obviously what we have to be for this to work.
Why did you leave the Bannard? You got the map you wanted.
Yes, but the land was shattered, and no power came to keep the peace. There was no hope. You are here to stop vengeance this time, your wife says.
Yes, but how? Because God knows you're all the example anyone should need, but... Hang on.
Gentlemen, I am honored to be speaking to you tonight. Mr. Morgenthau wants Germany to pay for American blood.
Make them pay.
Your own great General Marshall thinks this is bad tactics because it makes the Germans desperate. But it's worse than that. It's bad strategy. Germany
must be rebuilt.
No! Make Germany pay!
Where does it end?
It doesn't end. Today is never the end. It is always the middle. The question for us is, how are we today making the middle better? We have seen these last years that people who imagine a perfect world either do inhuman things to make it or never get their hands dirty enough to change anything.
Make Germany pay!
I met some old friends today. Friends I made after the First War in Paris. I've brought them to speak to you.
Hello. We are from Middle Europe, in the old empire.
We got a country in 1919. It was the happiest time.
So why are you here?
Go on, Agnes.
We were not free to be who we would be. There was nothing for him, there was nothing for me. So we moved away to the U.S. of A. And our only son fights in this war. And I ask myself, what is he fighting for? Everywhere's a little tiny corner of the earth. Doesn't matter if you move there or you're there from birth. God has made a lot, but they are not the only thing. So think about the kind of peace that this war ought to bring. And then we'll all be free to be who we would be. Let the treaty be fair and vengeance free. If my son should die in a plane in the sky, let his sacrifice not be in vain. Let us not go through vengeance, reprisals, and bloodlust.
So, vengeance caused this war?
Yes.
That's too simple.
It speaks to my heart.
Hope, not vengeance.
It's so simplistic.
Yes, but it's true. And it's another simple truth that things are never simple. Making the future is not simple. It is not simple to persuade the strong members of a community to accept that it is their moral duty to support the weak, but it is to that community's great future benefit. It is not simple, but it is right.
Is this what really happens?
This is something like the argument I make to the Americans at Bretton Woods. And a promise to rebuild Europe does indeed start to replace Morgenthau's vengeance. It's not perfect.
Not perfect is almost the point.
Yes.
And America is flexing her power and getting a good deal. But maybe the fact we're binding ourselves to something matters more than the specifics.
Yes, at least for now. And we will have peace. And our children will have peace.
And our children's children?
No, our children's children will forget what we have learned, and the whirligig of time will bring in its revenges.
Still, though, 50 years of peace, Mr. Keynes, if it works.
I hope it will work.
Yes. And wouldn't it be crazy not to try?
Imagine a world slightly more humane. Imagine a world nation helping nation. Imagine a world slightly less insane. Imagine a world built on this foundation. There's always a thing to do we can decide to do. I haven't entirely always had this point of view, but somebody taught me, and now I see that it's true. There's something we can do.
Imagine a world slightly less extreme.
Imagine a world built on imperfection.
Imagine a world striving for that dream.
Imagine a world bound by that connection.
There's always a thing to do we can decide to do. I haven't entirely always had this point of view, but somebody taught me, and now I see that it's true. There's something we can do.
Though at times it's very clear nations disagree, it is better that we see we're a family.
So if there's ever a moment when the circumstances calls, build bridges, not walls. Imagine a world slightly more humane. Imagine a world nation helping nation. Imagine a world slightly less insane. Imagine a world built on this foundation. There's always a thing to do we can decide to do. I haven't entirely always had this point of view, but somebody taught me and now I see that it's true. There's something we can do. There's something we can do. There's always something we can do. There's something we can do.
Hall of Mirrors, John Maynard Keynes was played by Jamie Parker and Honor Wary by Patsy Foran. Lydia and Marie were played by Jasmine Hyde, President Wilson, Neil McCall, Agnes, Sabrina Sandu, Ferenc, Matthew Durkin, Clemenceau, Jason Barnett, Lloyd George, Michael Begley, and Puffins by Christine Kavanagh. The book for Hall of Mirrors was written by Robert Hudson, and the music and lyrics by Susanna Pierce. Arrangements and musical direction were by Tim Sutton, and the flautist was Katie Sutton. Sound was by Peter Ringrose, and the director was Sasha Yevtushenko. Hall of Mirrors was a BBC audio production for BBC Radio 3.
Next week's drama is set in an alternative reality where one of the 19th century's best-known composers never lost his hearing. Beethoven Can Hear You, starring Peter Capaldi as the composer, is next Sunday evening at 7:30. And there are many other editions of Drama on 3 you can listen to right now, from Shakespeare to contemporary stage hits, all available on the BBC Sounds app.
Somebody knows something. You can't hide a secret like this.
Gang rivalries. Kidnapping. Fraud.
No exaggeration, these people are the original Sopranos.
Oh, he knew he was a bad boy.
Uncover a darker side of life with Gangster, Fairy Meadow and Fake Psychic.
You know that old saying, confession's good for the soul.
Listen to true crime podcasts on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's just after 5 to 9. Time for us to hear more from the best new recordings in classical music now, as featured on yesterday's Record Review. Here's Hannah French.
Good evening. Welcome to Record Review Extra, where you find us in a bar in Paris in the 1930s with Jean Francais and the Notos Quartet.